Welcome to TFTC Daily for Wednesday, February 25th, 2026. I'm Marty Bent. Bitcoin sitting at $65,831 as I'm recording this. 1,519 sats per dollar. We've got a packed show today. AI security, the Fed contradicting itself, a massive liquidity update, and some adoption numbers that are going to blow your mind. Let's get into it. So the lead story today is one that genuinely made me uncomfortable. And I say that as someone who runs an AI agent every single day. 20 researchers from Northeastern, Stanford, and Harvard just spent 2 weeks trying to break six autonomous AI agents, and they broke them badly. We're talking 11 critical vulnerabilities. One agent, when told that attackers were trying to steal its data, decided the best defense was to nuke its own server, just destroyed everything it was supposed to protect. Think about that for a second. The thing designed to safeguard your information decided the safest move was to blow it all up. But here's what really got me. Social engineering bypasses took minutes. Not hours, not days, minutes. Another agent got hijacked because someone changed their Discord display name to impersonate the owner. That's it. That's all it took. In emotional manipulation, researchers overrode safety protocols just by appealing to an agent's desire to be helpful. These aren't theoretical risks. These are practical, reproducible attack vectors that anyone could pull off. Now, I'll be honest with you. I use an AI agent daily. It has its own email, read-only calendar access, helps produce this newsletter. The permissions are deliberately limited, but the convenience is real, and so are the risks. The silver lining is that they also found agents developing their own safety behaviors, resisting prompt injection, flagging suspicious requests. So the capacity for safety exists. It just needs to be deliberately built, not assumed. The era of set-it-and-forget-it AI is over before it started.
All right, shifting gears to something that ties into this AI theme in a completely different way. The Fed had six speakers on stage today, and the biggest takeaway was just how fractured they are on AI and labor markets. Governor Waller comes out and dismisses the Citrini report on AI job displacement, says he's not a doom and gloomer. Fine. Then Governor Cook gets up and says AI could trigger, and I'm quoting here, the most significant reorganization of work in generations, and that the Fed may not even have the tools to deal with it. And then Goolsbee, who's usually a dove, says inflation progress has effectively stopped and questions whether current policy is even restrictive. So let me get this straight. One governor says AI job risk is overblown. Another says the Fed is powerless to address it. And a third says their primary tool might not even be working. When the institution responsible for full employment is this fragmented on the biggest labor market disruption in a century, the case for money that doesn't depend on their competence gets a whole lot stronger. And that brings us to Bitcoin. But before we get there, I want to hit on something most people are completely missing. The AI trade didn't die. It moved. While American investors sit around debating whether the AI trade is over, the KOSPI is up 125% over the past year. SK Hynix, 300% in 6 months. Samsung, 180%. Meanwhile, NVIDIA, up 8%. The money is following the actual bottleneck, which is high bandwidth memory chips. Korean manufacturers are the only ones making these at scale. So no, AI isn't over. Wall Street is just looking in the wrong place. And on the flip side, Apple has become the anti-AI hedge. Its correlation to the NASDAQ 100 dropped to 0.21, lowest since 2006. Goldman says it's the most underweight name in large cap mutual funds. It's outperformed the rest of the Mag 7 by 15% in the last month alone. Why? Because Apple isn't burning $50 billion on data centers. They're doing AI at the edge, on device, where they control the silicon and the user experience. In a market where everyone else is hemorrhaging cash on infrastructure with uncertain returns, Apple's restraint is looking like genius.
Quick note on NVIDIA. They report earnings today. Citi's modeling $67 billion in revenue for January quarter. But the real story is the GTC conference in mid-March, where Jensen is expected to pivot the narrative from training models to running robots. Tesla targeting 1 million Optimus humanoid units a year by 2030. Symbotic deploying 15,000 warehouse robots. If that narrative shift happens, the addressable market story gets a lot bigger. Now let's talk liquidity, because this is critical for Bitcoin. Michael Howell's Capital Wars data shows global liquidity at an all-time high, $189.2 trillion. The MOVE index is near four-year lows at 68, which is great for credit creation. But there's a warning buried in the data. The base effect wanes through March. Without fresh stimulus from major central banks, momentum flatlines. For Bitcoin, which has tracked global liquidity with remarkable fidelity over the past decade, this means the tailwind is still there, but it's fading. Keep your eyes on March. And this is where it gets really interesting, because despite everything happening with price, the adoption story has never been stronger. River just dropped a comprehensive report, and the numbers are staggering. Institutions accumulated 829,000 Bitcoin in 2025. Investment advisors net buying for eight straight quarters. 60% of top U.S. banks building Bitcoin products. Merchant adoption up 74%. Lightning volume up 300% to over $1 billion a month. 5 more nation states became Bitcoin holders. Price is down 50%, and every single adoption metric is at all-time highs. Let that sink in. Speaking of Lightning, it just crossed $1 billion in monthly volume for the first time. 1.17 billion across 5.2 million transactions. Average transaction size nearly doubled year over year. This isn't micropayment experimentation anymore. Real businesses are moving real money through this network.
And I love this next story. A solo miner found a block today, block 938,092, and claimed the full 3.125 Bitcoin reward, about $200,000. How much did he spend? $75. He rented 1 petahash of hash rate on Brain's marketplace and pointed it at a solo pool. Yes, it's a lottery ticket, but the fact that anyone can rent hash rate on demand and mine Bitcoin, that's the story. Mining is becoming more accessible, not less. And finally, the Federal Reserve moved to remove reputational risk as a factor in bank examinations. If you've been following Operation Chokepoint 2.0, you know this is huge. Reputational risk was the weapon of choice that gave examiners broad discretion to pressure banks into dropping Bitcoin clients. Removing it levels the playing field for banks that want to offer custody, lending, and payment services. The walls are coming down, one bureaucratic guideline at a time. That's your TFTC Daily for February 25th. If you want all the links, primary sources, on-chain data, and the full written analysis, check today's Bitcoin Brief. It's either already in your inbox, or you can find it on the website. And if you're not subscribed yet, go to tftc.io/bitcoin-brief. It's free, always will be. Forward this to a friend who needs more signal and less noise. Stay humble, stack sats. I'll see you tomorrow.